This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 16th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll tour a downtown building in Chicago devoted to the arts. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Champaign City officials are worried that the Canadian National Railroad's plans in the Chicago area could threaten Amtrak passenger service downstate. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
To get between Chicago's Union Station and the Canadian National's main line through Illinois, Amtrak trains, such as the City of New Orleans, travel on a short connecting route in the heart of the city. That's a route Canadian National wants to shut down under its proposal to move much of its Chicago-area rail traffic to the EJ&E Railroad. An alternate route has been planned, but not yet built or funded. Champaign Mayor Jerry Schweihart says if Amtrak loses that connecting route, service to Champaign and other cities could suffer.
That it will negatively affect the Amtrak route through Champaign by either cutting the amount of trips through Champaign or delaying the amount of time it takes to get to Chicago, which is critical to Champaign because so many students ride that route.
A Champaign City Council resolution passed last night opposes any changes affecting Amtrak service. The resolution will be filed with the Federal Surface Transportation Board, which is considering Canadian National's proposal to buy the EJ&E. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A spokesman for Canadian National could not be reached for comment yesterday. The city of Champaign has a new 3-year contract with its police. The city council ratified the contract last night. Fraternal Order of Police members gave their approval last week. The contract is retroactive to last July. It calls for yearly raises of 3.25%, 3.5%, and 3.75%. It also makes permanent a 4-day, 10-hour work schedule for patrol officers and sergeants. Police Chief R.T. Finney says the so-called 4-10 schedule had been used on an experimental basis in the past. The immediate emergency may be lessening in the flood-soaked city of Watseka, but Iroquois County officials remind people that dangers still lurk. The National Weather Service says the Iroquois River may be below flood stage again by Friday morning. That will give people a chance to pump out basements and assess the damage around their homes. Michael Johnson of the county's Emergency Management Agency says flood water is unclean by nature, and the county health department is trying to get that word out.
Making sure that they wash their hands and to be careful of any cuts or open sores that they have when they're going around areas where the water was.
Johnson also says those who want to pump out their basements may want to wait until they're sure the subsoil around them is less waterlogged. That's because pumping water out of the basement could cause a difference in external pressure that may lead to foundation damage. Johnson says about 30 people remain out of their homes and at a shelter at Watseka's Trinity Church. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich continues to push his plan to give senior citizens free rides on public transit. He spoke to a crowd of seniors yesterday at a retirement home on Chicago's North Side about his changes to the mass transit funding bill. But Helen Pollan wasn't buying it.
Why do you have to give all senior citizens a free ride? Why can't you give the ones who are really poor and need it?
But Blagojevich says his plan could soften the blow of the Chicago area sales tax increase included in the bill.
Public transportation in a perfect world should be there for everybody, and it ought to be free for everybody. It's not realistic. It's not going to happen, not in my lifetime. But why not begin with our seniors like they do in Champaign-Urbana and in other places?
The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District already offers free bus passes for seniors. The governor's proposal is expected to go to the General Assembly for a vote this week. State Representative Julie Hamos says she's working on a separate bill that would limit free rides to the elderly with low incomes. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels is urging the legislature to enact immediate, significant, and lasting property tax relief. During his State of the State address last night, the governor said his property tax plan is one that would meet those goals. Daniel said property tax bills have skyrocketed in parts of the state. He said many Hoosier homeowners could fairly describe the situation as a crisis, and providing relief and reform is the primary task for this legislative session. The session is to end by March 14th, but Daniels has indicated he would call a special session if a tax plan is not enacted. Daniels briefly mentioned one other item, asking lawmakers to pass a package of measures to improve the collection of child support payments. Aides say his proposal seeks a pilot program aimed at making the system more administratively based, in part by avoiding lengthy court procedures. A Western Indiana lawmaker says an increase in the sales tax is almost certain as legislators look for ways to cut property taxes. Covington Democrat Gail Grubb says legislators now have their work cut out for them as they figure out a way to offer property tax relief and still adequately fund local services like police and schools. Grubb says there's strong agreement with the governor that Indiana's sales tax will go from 6 to 7%.
We will use that money to offer tax relief back to the homeowners, and I think probably all categories or classifications of real estate. We will also make part of it a permanent relief from the standpoint that the state will pick up a couple of funds that are currently funded by property taxes at the local level.
Grubb says social service agencies could be handled through state revenues along with a portion of the school general fund and transportation funds. He also says there's an argument for consolidating some units of local government, including some assessor's offices, but says more debate is needed. Grubb says he's not in favor of Governor Daniels' proposal to have local assessors appointed rather than elected, saying it hurts accountability. Illinois' Department of Agriculture says the tree-killing emerald ash borer has been discovered in suburban communities west and south of Chicago. The infestations were found in Geneva and in a wooded area in Hazelcrest, the first time the beetle has been found in the south suburbs. The metallic green bug is highly destructive. It feeds on ash trees, eventually killing them. The first discovery of the beetle in Illinois came in June 2006 in Kane County. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. There's a building in downtown Chicago full of artists and studios. The Fine Arts Building has housed painters, violin makers, and dancers since the late 1800s. It's also home to another less common art. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness reports.
The music of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra resounds through a long, narrow hall. Several floors down, little girls in purple tutus show off ballet steps. But there's another sound that's less musical. It's the clank and clatter of old-fashioned elevators still run by hand. There are no bells or lights that tell what floor people are waiting on. Instead, the operators peer through the glass doors at each floor as it flashes by, looking for passengers. At the Fine Arts Building, there's an elevator operator who's a living part of history. Tommy Durkin arrived from Ireland in 1949, got a job at the Fine Arts Building months later, and has been there ever since.
I don't like to move. I stay in the same place. It's much easier. You get to know the people. I know there are people who change jobs all the time. They change apartments, homes. I could never do that, see.
He hasn't changed jobs, but he says the world has changed around him.
People are very busy today. They leave the studio with their cell phone. They're already dialing. They stand before they get on the car. They can't wait for that minute. It's insane.
But he says it's still a warm, wonderful building. Lee Newcomer is the owner of Performer's Music Store.
Not only does he pretty much know everybody's floor, but he's responsible for kind of the tone of the building.
He knows their stories. He can tell their stories sometimes better than they can, because he likes to get to the point quicker.
Kyle Walsh is the property manager. Durkin is known for taking the building's security very seriously, while also being master of the 30-second conversation. He's a man of few words, unless the topic's Notre Dame. Down in the basement, in the room next to the boiler, Durkin has a secret clubhouse. It's the Notre Dame room.
Those are all their national championships here. pictures of them over there. Newt Rockne, you know of him? Yeah.
There's a bar in the corner Newt and a picture Rockne of Notre Dame's Basilica.
So the church is beautiful. It's so nice in there that even an atheist would like to stay in there, you know.
He still throws an annual party here for Notre Dame fans. The age of the elevator operator pretty much ended when automation arrived. In its heyday, Chicago had almost 5,500 of them, enough to form a union. Kenneth Cliff is with the Service Employees International Union, Local 1.
We could see the handwriting on the wall. And within 2 or 3 years, we lost about 2,000 members to automation. And the rest is history.
There are only a handful of people left in Chicago who run passenger elevators. Five of them are here at the Fine Arts Building. Architect Jim Harriman says he worries a future owner might modernize the elevators.
You know, it's kind of the heart of the building to have someone carry you up and down. And so you can't just kind of quietly ride to work like you would in a modern high-rise. You kind of get engaged.
Operating an elevator by hand is a dying art that requires a good memory, steady hands, and a gift for polite conversation. And it's no less important to many tenants in the building than the music and art that fills the halls. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, partly to mostly sunny during the morning hours, mostly cloudy during the afternoon today, the high around 40. Cloudy tonight, some sprinkles and flurries possible during the evening, then occasional snow after midnight, the low 25. Cloudy with periods of light snow tomorrow, an accumulation of an inch or two possible, the high 33. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, some flurries during the evening hours, the low 18. Mostly cloudy Friday with a chance of light snow late in the day, the high 27. Cloudy and turning much colder Friday night with periods of light snow, a low of 5 degrees. Saturday, mostly cloudy and cold, not much warmer, the high around 10. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Mosser, AM 580 News.